بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honorable listeners, it's a well-known fact that when somebody does something good, then you reward them accordingly. So the act of coming for Jumu'ah early has got great merits in the eyes of Shariat, and for coming early compared to those who are still stuck in traffic, etc., we will start off with the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A sahabi comes to Janab-e Pak Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says that I've got some weakness in my deen. I have got some weakness in my health. And as far as the wife goes, interaction, there's arguments. And as far as my children go, there's also problems in that direction. And O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got financial problems as well. If you look at it from every aspect, deen, health, wife, children, business, all spheres. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pack things up, an ocean he will give you in a small capsule. So Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended a dua, that read this prayer, read this incantation, read these words after Fajr Salah 3 times, and after Maghrib Salah, read it 3 times. And the Sahabi took to the words, Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. Now before we come to the conclusion of what happened, there's vast difference between us and the Sahaba. Sahaba were unlike myself. When I hear something, then alhamdulillah we heard it and it stays there. They used to take it into their life. They used to make amal upon it. So the Sahabi makes amal upon it, and he comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a few days time, say alhamdulillah in all the departments, deen wise, health wise, wife wise, child wise, financial wise, everything is in order. So my dear friends, will we make amal upon this? MashaAllah. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, when the wahi was sent down to Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam on different occasions, one verse is about the praising of those people that used to purify themselves. So those people that were of the Masjid Quba, they used to make istinja, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about loving them because of their purity. So we learn something, that when somebody is doing something good, then you give him that pat on the back and acknowledgement as well. At this juncture, with 10 days of Ramadan behind me, 11th day of Ramadan we are going through, and the 12th night of Taraweeh on the approach, I will not be wrong in saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to sit in the company of great walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now your opinion about yourself and my opinion about myself must be that I must still work. But there's an observation that we are seeing that is giving the heart some solace. To only say things are negative, that won't be positive. Sometimes when we see the positive, and we go into the depths and nitty-gritties to unpack how deep and what is the depth of that positivity, you'll find, my friends, that then it gives that ability to do even more. I won't go into all the acts of Ramadan Sharif. I'm just touching on the roza, on the fasting. Basically, if we have to analyze fasting in the language of somebody who's introducing Islam to somebody who doesn't know about Islam. So I'm talking ultra simple. We fast from dawn to dusk. We abstain from food, water and pleasures. This basically you can tell a person, you know, who entered Islam or is on the door of Islam. So I'm using the most simple translation, simple explanation. What I want to ask the Mubarak brothers that are seated here, that food that we have, either cooked or uncooked in the freezer or fridge, or in the kitchen or wherever it is, that food is halal, earned in a halal way. It's halal and it belongs to us. There's no element of stealing it. So there's no hurmat attached to it that we're staying away from it. Likewise, the drinks and those who are married, they're staying away from halal pleasures. They have paid mehr. They have sat in a nikah. People have witnessed the nikah. But you find all these things that are halal, all those things that are permitted, a person is just staying away from it. And not just staying away from it in public, but in privacy as well. Like right now, nobody will have the jur'at, or the himmat, or the courage, or the word audacity to put a date in his mouth now. Everyone look, what's wrong with you? Even if you're sick, eat at home, don't eat in front of people. So on a public scale, nobody will eat anything. But my dear friends, I ask you, some of you came from the office now, right? Some came from home now. Some came from job now. Some used the bathroom, then came and made wudu. At any of these points when you were alone, is there anybody that stopped you from putting a sweet in the mouth? Nobody did it. Leave a sweet. Food is in front of you. But to the Muslim who's fasting, to him that is like allergic reaction. It doesn't appeal to him until iftar time. We all pass the water machine, but nobody touched the glass. Likewise, the spouses are there, but nobody broke his fast. Now what is this? This is an analyzation that we need to extract. That at the end of the ayat, Kutiba alaykum usiyam, they say, La'allakum tattakun, so that we can achieve piety. We can achieve taqwa. This is also a branch of taqwa, that where halal is in front of us, we have access to it with nobody seeing us. And yet, we do not extend our bellies, our thoughts, our hands towards this. We say, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, even at a price of billions, I will not break my fast. So it's sufficient to say that the Muslims of Durban and across the globe have got the element of taqwa in them. It is there. Like the HIF student, he says, I can hardly memorize Suratul Fatiha properly. He's a small child. But when you get him into the HIFS program, leave Surah Fatiha, the entire Quran is memorized. And then he comes, and in a most melodious voice, he's performing the Taraweeh as well. My point, what I'm getting across to you, my dear friends, is that charisma and strength to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unwittingly, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, it exists in each and every one. So now when one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is one of the pillars, of the five pillars of Islam, can be practiced upon so diligently, so strongly, that even in a person's privacy, he will not break the command of Allah. This to me, my dear friends, is a sign of great good that is awaiting each and every one of us in our life. The reason we have got this right is one is the environment of Ramadan, the barakat of Ramadan. But at the same time, this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of fasting, we took it to heart. and we contemplated upon it subconsciously or consciously, and it has evolved into a thought that is embedded in our heart that this is how I will keep the fast, and at no cost and I miss this fast, and I'm going to carry it out. So, in simple terms, if a person can carry 50 kilos of cement, then he can carry 50 kilos of flour as well. Because he got the strength. And this strength and oomph exists in each and every one of us. So now that we have recognized ourselves, you see, sometimes so much of negativity we hear about ourselves. You're only doing wrong. You can't do it right. Person say, hey, what I must do? I can't even give one page sabak right. Leave this hifz class, you know. But here is the positivity. Now, my dear friends, we have established somewhat piety around us. Alhamdulillah, due to our course of the day, we are in different masjids. We have to be here for Maghrib, somewhere for Isha, somewhere for Asr, according to teaching. Wherever I'm going, and you are going, you'll bear testimony. People are reading Quran. Somebody is making zikr. Somebody is making dua. Somebody is not doing anything. He's just contemplating, making muraqabah. He's thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mat. Or he's just in a masjid. There's an angelic ambiance. There's an angelic feeling in the atmosphere. However, now what happens? The moment the moon is sighted, unanimously many people, they come and complain to the ulama kiram. They ask the mashayikh, they ask the seniors, I can't understand what happened to me now. I had everything in order. Fajr Salah, I was there. Leave that. After that, I was even listening to the program. And as far as akhlaq, oh, I was such a sublime human being. The wife and children, they looked at me as a cool glass of water on a hot day. What a wonderful dad. What a wonderful hubby. The staff in the business say, of our boss could be like this whole year. And they say, look, Maulana, I was also involved in dua. I wasn't making 1 minute dua, but 10 minutes dua. And every ibadat, the ulama write, that when you have this for ibadat, just waiting for the next action, you just want to do more and more, as we observe nowadays, is a sign that you got the love of Allah in your heart. You're becoming an ashik of Allah. It's becoming. And I was just eating my iftar, and then my maghrib, awabin, and I'm at home, hardly finished. I'm getting ready for tarawih. And at a gentle pace for 1.5 hours, I'm standing for Allah. But come moon, come the Eid, I don't know what happened to me. Now there's something to understand what happens to us. Our akabirin mention that a person comes on Sirat al-Mustaqim due to an environment or due to certain company that he's interacting with. They say, mahol ki asar parta hai or halat ki asar parta hai. That when a person is going through a condition, it puts him in order. Or he's going to an environment, it puts him in order. So we in this environment, it's working out for us. But 20 days beforehand, plus minus now, bear with me for the calculations, but 20 days until the sighting of the moon, we're in the days of Maghfirat now, then Itkum min an-nar, emancipation from the fire of Jahannam, and then Eid. 20 days beforehand, your friend is advising you for himself as well. How do we take care of the reins of our life now? One is this dua, that we constantly will make this dua. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, Rahmatan Wasiya. His advice was for the whole world, but obviously the people that go in the Jamaat, they were sitting in front of him, so it's in that context that I'm mentioning it, but by general you can take this advice. He says, make all du'as that you want to make, no problem, but make this particular du'a, Allahumma la taqilni ila nafsi tarfata aini wa la tanzi minni saliha ma ataitani. This is a very jami and powerful dua. For brothers who are seeking Allah, they say Allah ke justaju mein hai. They are trying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each person is on a journey that he is either flying to Allah, sailing to Allah, running to Allah. Each person is seated here for that and he wants something. You know, in business terms, when point of sale was introduced, or some new program is introduced where you can save super amount of finances, how happy we get. Hey, shukar, you know, if I implement this, end of the year I'm going to see another 2 million, because it's such a good system, it's keeping checks and balances. This dua is a check and balance on our amals. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah is saying, make this dua that, oh Allah, don't leave me subservient to my nafs. Tarfata'in, even for a blink of an eye. What happens in a blink of an eye? A person will be on the highway, and due to tiredness, a blink of the eye, it closes, and you know the end result. A mother gets a phone call, in a blink of an eye, she goes to answer that the child is in a bathtub, you know what is the outcome. A doctor, in a blink of an eye, makes a mistake, he's cutting the wrong artery or the wrong vein, something is going wrong, the blink of an eye. So in the blink of an eye, don't leave me, O Allah, don't leave me subservient to my nafs. The nafs, my dear friends, is a very important thing in our life. If it's not there, then we'll all be angels. But at the expense of nafs, we can show our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's always testing us. But remember, nafs is like a lion, you know. I remember in one of my journeys in India, I met a person by the name of Bilal. He was from a place called Jaipur. He had the most extraordinary job, you know. He was a tiger trainer. He used to train tigers. Not playing with his puppies now, tigers. He said one of his main tiger was called Ganga. Say, Maulana, I'm advising you something. Obviously, I'm not going to train a tiger, but you know, they like to talk about their job. And when you're in the path of Allah, you must listen how much you want to speak also. So he says, look, this tiger, one thing about it, no matter how friendly it is to me, never ever turn your back to it. Because automatically it thinks you, it's shikar, you, it's prey, it will pounce on you. Then as a gift, he gave me one whisker of the tiger, I still got it somewhere. This nafs is like a tiger. This nafs is a tiger. You leave it for a while, it will act like very humble, but turn your back to it, it will get you. Hazrat Ji's dua, La takilni ila nafsi, O Allah, don't leave me subservient to my nafs even for a blink of an eye. And the next part of the dua, ah, Allah Ta'ala fill the grave of our akabirin with noor, brothers. What we are seeing here today in South Africa is because of these akabirin. De tawajjuh, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, Mawla Inamul Hasan sahab, Hazrat Binori rahmatullah alayhi, Mawla Masihullah, Mufti Mahmud, I cannot take all the names. Great, great, Awliya Allah came to our country, and they taught us one step. And today you're seeing this environment. Allah bless them and bless all that making the effort of deen in whatever line. You say, Wala tanzi minni saliya ma ataitani. Oh Allah, whatever you have given me, all that history now, what I just mentioned now, all ibadat that we have achieved, the akhlaq that we have achieved. Oh Allah, do not snatch this away from me. So this is far as the verbal effort that we're going to make. We're going to make effort, inshallah. Anybody can't remember this, it's also in the treasures kitab that you read, you know, key to the treasures, is in that book, it's in the wazifa's book, and if you want personally, we are here after Jummah, we can share the dua. This is far as adhiya, this is far as what you're going to recite verbally. But the effort of maintaining the level of Ramadan doesn't stop here. There has to be some physical effort as well. By and large, we don't categorize anybody. But we found people that keep contact with ulama kiram, keep contact of pious majalis and zikr majlis, and participate in the work of dawat and good works of deen, their Ramadan is maintained. Out of this, if a person is braving the cold, he can catch the pneumonia, the spiritual pneumonia. So what I'm implying and what I'm saying, each and everybody from now, start thinking of ourselves. What I have achieved and what I have still have to achieve, how am I going to get grips of this? I have to make a plan from now. Because trust me, once you see that moon, all this thing will be forgotten. When a person is in a spiritual high, like they say when you go in the Jamaat work, at the end of your chilla of 4 months, make a niyat when you're going to go in the Jamaat again, that niyat holds. But when you don't make a niyat without something in front, then you find years pass and the person doesn't repeat the 40 days or 4 months. So whilst we're on the spiritual high and we can feel that muhabbat and we can feel that raghbat for the masjid, and there's a kind of like, I just want to be Allah's, you know. I got no need for sin in my life. That angelic feeling is there. Whilst that person is in that mode, then it's important that we make solid intentions and solid directions. So the attachment to the ulama kiram means what now? In your local masjid, or somewhere in your locality, you'll find some scholar that is taking people in a positive direction. Tried and tested, 40, 50 years, they're running right. You can see the people unanimously say, this person is taking the people in the right direction. Attach ourselves to those people, you see. See, a little bit of aquatic science I want to share with you. See, there's a huge humpback whale, or a blue whale you call it. These things are very big. One can fit in the whole of Masjid al-Hilal. So long and so big it is. 100 tons in weight, plus minus. On this whale, you'll find like shell stuff to it. Scientifically, this is called barnacles. The whale is so big, and these small barnacles, they attach to the whale. The food of the whale is phytoplankton. In other words, a whale can't hunt like a shark. It's too big to turn around. So Allah Ta'ala made arrangement for it, you know. Like small shrimp, just swallows a whole lot of water. It's got a sift. And when it chews this, the fragments and the tidbits that come out, these barnacles benefit from it. Now, I use this example, you know, sometimes you try to explain something. You and I are the barnacles. The Ahlullah are the whales. Huge whales. They are the giants of deen. All the barnacle did was attach itself to the whale. Wherever the whale went, it went. And its food came to it automatically. We attaching ourselves to some buzruk or to some line of deen for the sake of what? So that when that noor comes to that wali and his teachings, it also those fragments come to us. We also going places. So I'm not going to tell you who to choose and what to choose and where to go. But this much I can tell you. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Those that make their tazkiyah and those that repair themselves, they are successful. And the one that doesn't take out his impurities, he's at a loss. So my dear friends, the attachment to the ulama kiram and attachment to the work of deen. See my respected friends, today unfortunately people have given a name to everything. Well, obviously you have to have a name for something. Like when a person say masjid, then his mind only goes that I must make sajda and salah there. Whereas masjid is not only for salah. Masjid has got amals behind it. Likewise, sometimes a person says tabligh, you know, or jamaat brother. This term has been invented by people who want to ask somebody something, say, how many jamaat brothers have come? That's by way of speaking. But practically, haqiqatan, in reality, there's no such thing as a jamaat brother. Because once we read the kalima, to learn the kalima, meaning of the kalima, to teach the kalima, spread the kalima and make other people do the same. There's no jamaat brother in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are jamaat brothers, mashallah. Come my jamaat brothers, come sit down here. You're doing good work, jamaat brothers. All the sahaba were jamaat brothers. There's a misunderstanding today, jamaat brothers. If we attach ourselves to the work of da'wat, let's call it like that, where a person on a unified, organized scale comes into a program, look, whatever da'wat you're doing on your own strength, Allah Ta'ala bless you. But you know, when many strands or many sticks are together or straws are together, it can sweep easily. When a person runs on his own, it's a possibility he can fall. But we're not stopping anybody from doing whatever they're doing. Carry on, please. If you're doing 10%, make it 20%. But I'm talking on an organized understanding scale. This work of jamaat, I'm classifying it from a different angle. You notice how this work keeps a person occupied. Salana, mahana, haftawar, rozana, yearly, monthly, weekly and daily. That yearly you got to move 40 days, 4 months. Monthly you got to move 3 days, 10 days. Weekly you got to move 8 hours, 2.5 hours, gush in, gush out, gush. Talim in a masjid, morning fikr, this mashura, that mashura, shab guzari. And daily he's got his 2.5 hours and talim to make in a masjid and in a home. Jamaat brothers, tartib they say, you know. The actual fact, if you look at it, the elders are very wise. That you see, I'm putting it in my own words. They must have looked at this saying, an old age-old adage, idle mind is the devil's workshop. So they kept the ummah so busy in deen work that they got no time for other work. No time to make nonsense. No time to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of which, somewhere along that line in that jamaat career, either he'll be on salana, yearly, mahana, monthly, haftawar, weekly, or rozana. One of these days he has to die. He's going to die in a day, or in the week, or in the month, or in the year. Is there any other time you can die by? So whilst he's going to be involved in the work of deen, what a mort is going to come to him. That is why the mashayikh, when you get bared to them also, they put such a program, they're so rigid for you, that a person can't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hurry. So linking it up to our worry, what we were talking about now, that I want to maintain this angelic feeling and charisma that has been built in me. These are some of the solutions that a simple student like myself can offer you. Obviously, when the seniors will come, that is why I sit on this chair. I don't go there, you see. When they come, they sit there. They're worthy of saying things. I'm talking from this level, what small level, you see. My dear friends, the simple solution that I offered you is a solution that has worked for many, many people. If we have other solutions, it is by trial and error. But these are the sure solutions. What is this? Bismillah ala dini wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. We make that dua. Hazrat Ji's dua, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfata'ini wa la tanzi' minni saliha ma ataitani. And attach yourself to the ulama. You see, my dear friends, one is to become bared to an alim or to some mashayikh, that is in his place. But I ask the ulama, they say, look, bayat is not farz, islah is farz. So if a person is still thinking, look, I'm not ready for bayat, but the minimum I can do is sit in the company of the pious, even do that, mashallah. And attach ourselves to this work of dawat that will keep us occupied, and this feeling of Ramadan won't come down, it will remain or it will go up. The last part of my advice, now up to now we have spoken about what positive things to do. There has to be some negative things you have to stay away from also. Stay away from evil company. I was reading one kitab, said that the most dangerous thing, more than nafs and shaitan, obviously a person can debate this, but this is this scholar's view. He said the most dangerous thing you can find is bad friends. I tell you why. Shaitan is locked up in Ramadan. Through the fasting, the nafs is under control, but bad friend, can you get rid of him? Sometimes we're making dua there, the man want to talk that time. What he's talking about? Liverpool. Bad friend, you see. You can't get rid of him, you don't know what to do with him. So a bad friend can be anywhere. Bad company, in other words. So each and every one, establish who is my company. Now how do you find a person who's good for you and bad for you? There again we praise, and we send, we say shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the mashayikh taught us this as well. They say that when you go in the company of somebody and you leave him, if your iman is right where it was, on the same level, he's a good person. If it increases, he's a super person. But after leaving this person, you're on a down, then this person is not your cup of tea. Slowly, get rid of him. He's not your cup of tea for your spiritual well-being. Bad company, bad places. A person by now, as you grow up, the youngsters might still be finding their ways through the waters. But once you hit 35, 40, you know, hatta idha balagha 40 sana, when you hit 40, by now you should understand what's good for you, what's not good for you. You know so many khajur is good for you. You know so many hours of sleep is good for you. You should be aware of yourself. Should not be instilled in the days. So by 40, a person will know which company, which place is not good for my spiritual self. Whenever you go there, you find namaz is being missed. There's a kind of darkness come in the heart. Then that environment, I don't have to go there. Insha'Allah, after thinking the whole week, what to mention that can benefit us now, the rest of Ramadan and after Ramadan, Allah put these few words in my heart. If whatever I have told you, if it benefited you, tawfiq ilahi. This is the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The teachings of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mashayikh, the whole host and and group of them that passed the deen down, and ma asatiza kiram, ma mashayikh izam, and our elders that have taught us these words, and today we have passed it to you. It's not from our side. May Allah ta'ala grant you the best of the balance of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the best of life up ahead, and for us to keep company with the pious and the pious works. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.